2. The small gray man was escorted into the pagoda area by two polite but alert Scottish guards. He was about as high as Johnny's shoulder. He was dressed in a neat gray suit. He looked like a human being, except that his skin was gray. Angus looked at him.
"That's a Scottish knit sweater," said Angus suspiciously.
I know," said the small gray man through his English-speaking vocoder. "I am very sorry that we have no time for social amenities. We must conduct our business right now and rapidly." One of the guards said, "He has a white flashing light blinking on and off on top of his ship." Sir Robert's communicator, the boy named Kwong, whispered to Sir Robert, "He has a radio signal going on the battle frequency that is saying temporary local safe conduct." He said it, of course, in Cyclo. The small gray man must have had very sharp ears, for he promptly said, "Oh, you speak Cyclo." He was speaking it, and he took off the vocoder and put it in his pocket, saying, "We can dispense with this, then. They are sometimes inaccurate. They misword critical clauses that lead to disputes." As he did this, and before they could stop him, he took a quick step up on the pedestal before the open console and looked in. "Ah, a standard transshipment console, I see. You have only one." Johnny felt they were being criticized in some way. "We can build others." He meant it to mean, "Don't try to steal this one, for we can replace it fast enough." But the small gray man positively beamed with joy. He stepped down and looked quickly about. "We really must hurry. Is there an authorized representative of the planetary government here?" "That would be Sir Robert," said Johnny, indicating him. "Do you have the power to sign on behalf of your government?" asked the small gray man crisply. There was a delay. Sir Robert took his communicator out of their hearing and was quickly in communication with Chief of Clan Fergus in embattled Edinburgh. They were going through their communicators in Polly. Chief of Clan Fergus said he didn't see why not, since they were the original government and there was no other. The small gray man called over, "Record his brief statement in clear, if you please. We must have nothing irregular, nothing that won't stand up in court or litigation." They didn't like to put it out on the air, so Chief of Clan Fergus said it in the Gaelic language, and they recorded it. The small gray man was all business. He took the recording and said, "Do you have any money? Galactic credits, I mean?" Well, usually one or another of them had galactic credits they had taken off dead cyclos as souvenirs. But Johnny's pouch had been ruined, and Angus was carrying only his toolkit, and Robert the Fox had never bothered to pick any up. But the communicator Kwong went tearing around to guards and came back in a moment with a 100-credit banknote the guard said Sir Robert could have and welcome. "Oh, dear," said the small gray man. "We are so rushed, I should have been more explicit. 500 credits is the minimum amount." Johnny knew there were probably several hundred thousand of them in Kerr's baggage. But that was all the way up at Lake Victoria. There were about 2 million more in a safe, but that wasn't here either. Kwong went tearing around to the pilots. Bullseye. They had been taking them off pilots they had shot down. One had a 500-credit note, 6 100-credit notes. Sir Robert could have them, yes indeed. "Ah, 1,200 credits, said the small gray man. He had been making out a card form. "And what is your title?" he asked Sir Robert.
"War Chief of Scotland."
No.
"Shall we just put down here, duly authorized and empowered signatory? And here, at the top, we will put Provisional Government of the Planet Earth. Date, address, call number. No, we can just leave those, as they have no legal value. Please sign here at the bottom."
Sir Robert signed. The small gray man, meanwhile, had his pocket, opened it, and wrote, "Provisional Government of the Planet Earth," inside the cover. And then he wrote on the top line of the next page, 1,200 credits, and his initials, and handed it to Sir Robert.
"Your passbook. Keep it in a safe place, and do not lose it."
He shook hands. The small gray man drew a long sigh.
Then he became brisk again. He turned over the lapel of his gray jacket and said something into a button-sized radio. The guard post outside said into the intercom to them, "The top lights on his ship just went blue." Kwong said,
"His radio signal is saying now, local conference, do not interrupt."
The small gray man beamed at them, rubbing his hands together in small, quick motions.
"Now that you are a customer, I can give you advice, and my first advice is act fast."
He was hauling a book out of his inside pocket. It said, "Address book," on it in Cyclo.
"Cast to these addresses as quickly as possible. We will give the belligerents priority. The first would be Hockner, home planet Hockner, coordinates, Fountain Garden in front of Imperial Palace. Basic coordinates are..."
He rattled off a series of numbers, and Angus hastily scribbled them down. They were in the same order as Turl's huge book of planets. Angus said suspiciously,
"Can you operate a console?"
The small gray man shook his head vigorously.
"Oh, dear, no. Good heavens, no. Much less build one. I just have the addresses."
Then he noticed that Angus was about to bring the coordinates up to date with a pen and sheets of paper.
"Goodness gracious. Don't you have a coordinate computer? This would take forever by hand. We haven't any time."
He lifted the lapel, but before he spoke, he looked for permission to Sir Robert.
"Can I have one of my crew bring in a computer? I'll also need the red boxes. Could you send out a guard to escort him in and back out? It won't explode, and I'm here."
Sir Robert nodded, and the small gray man rattled off something into his lapel radio, and a guard raced out. The small gray man waited quite impatiently, but he patted the side of the console housing and beamed.
"Quite ornamental. Usually they're so plain, you know."
A gray-uniformed crew member raced in with the guard and deposited a rather impressive computer in the small gray man's hands, laid down a stack of what appeared to be red cardboard, and was escorted out. With a deft, repeated flick of his hand, the small gray man was working a ratchet on the right side of the computer. They could see different keyboards appearing and disappearing. He overshot and came back one.
"Now, here is a coordinate computer," he said, laying it down before Angus. "You feed in the exact firing time on these keys here. It must be the actual moment you will press your firing switch. Then you feed it, whether it is just cast, or cast and recall, or exchange on these buttons here. And then you simply punch in the universe and the 8 basic coordinates of time zero on the table on these keys here. Quite simple. You may have this one as a new account's gift. I have several. Now, let's see. I imagine we can begin firing by 2200, sidereal, base universe."
He looked at his watch.
"That is in 8 minutes. A cast requires about 2 minutes. We have 30 casts to do. We will call in the basic civilized nations and omit Cyclo, which makes 29, but we will add Lord Voraz. Good gracious, I hope he's not in bed. That will take an hour. Then we will wait 3 hours and do a cast and recall. That will take 6 minutes each. We will make it easy on them so they won't arrive upset and cross, which is 3 hours. So in about 7 hours, plus a little organizing time, you should be able to get them here."
He was quite out of breath. He grabbed a stack of cards that sat on the red stack of cardboard and shoved them at Sir Robert.
"Just sign each one at the bottom and I'll fill in the rest. Let me have them as fast as you sign."
Sir Robert looked at the form. It was all in Cyclo. "Urgent. You are courteously requested to send an authorized minister with powers plenipotentiary in all matters relating to political and military relationships with other races and with powers to negotiate and arrange final and binding treaties. His person is guaranteed, and any effort to hold him as a hostage shall result in his immediate revocation of all agreements and his instant suicide. Appear, blank, hours, at place of arrival. 2, blank. Conference place, blank. Duration of conference at ministerial discretion. Planet name, blank. Atmosphere of planet, blank. Mean temperatures, blank. Sun type, blank. Gravity of planet, blank. metabolism of race, blank. Food supplies, available for your race, blank. Not available, blank. Return of emissary guaranteed, safe and in good condition, with copies of all relevant proceedings. Recommended, blank. Initial and seal. Authorized representative for the legal government of this planet, blank. Signed. All relevant diplomatic costs will be borne by this planet. Blank. Signed. Sir Robert studied it a bit too long for the small gray man.
Sign it, he said. Twice. On the last two lines. I will initial and seal it and fill the rest in.
The small gray man was popping together slabs of cardboard. He would hit them on two diagonal corners and they became a fairly large red box. An unignited smoke pot and flare were on the top of each box, and a small gong which would keep sounding. In a tearing hurry, the small gray man took the first card Sir Robert signed, filled it in with a flurry of entries, initialed it, banged a seal on it, and popped it into the box. Hockner, he said to Angus, and trotted over to the center of the firing platform, dropped the box, and came back quickly and started to work on the next box. Johnny looked at his watch, took the coordinates and marks Angus had drawn out of the computer with a tape, punched them in. Time. He punched the firing button. The first box shimmered an instant and vanished. Tallnep, said the small gray man. Front steps of their house of plunder. Angus rattled the computer. Johnny set the console. The small gray man raced over and put the second box on the platform. The moment he was off, Johnny punched the firing button. That red box vanished. Two Buddhist communicators saw the drill and relieved the small gray man, putting the boxes out on the platform. The small gray man was getting quite out of breath. The boy, Kwong, noticed all the cards were the same except for the addresses and helped him fill those in, so he just had to initial and seal them and pop them in a box. The small gray man caught up, and everything was ready to fire 40 minutes before the last one would go. Panting a bit, the small gray man stood aside and let them get on with it. Sir Robert said to him, "Are you going to conduct this conference, too?" The small gray man shook his head.
"Oh, dear, no. I'm just helping out. When they get here, it's all up to you."
Johnny and Sir Robert exchanged a look. They had better think of something fast. 6.5 hours from now, authorized ministers of 29 races, which apparently made up about 5,000 separate planets, would be here. The small gray man said something into his lapel. A guard outside intercommed in, "The lights on his ship just changed. The blue one is flashing faster, and now they have a big flashing red one going." The communicator said to Sir Robert,
"The radio message that keeps going out just changed. It is saying, local truce area. Security and safety of your own representatives would be endangered by gunfire, motors, or attack. Keep 500 miles clear of zone."
Sir Robert said, "Can't you just call a general truce for the planet?"
"Oh my, no. I couldn't do that. It would be a protest, producer. An usurpation of the powers of state. I am sorry. Your people in other places will just have to hold out."
Sir Robert went to Ops to put messages on the command channel to tell them what was going on. They were encouraged. They reported there was no diminution of the attack's ferocity. They were holding out, but just barely. For some foolish reason, the enemy, per pilot reports, had set ancient ruined London on fire. Angus had tapes punched now for the bulk of the firings. But the small gray man said he could do the rest for him, and then do those necessary for the fire and recall after the 3-hour wait. A Chinese engineer and Chief Chong Wan had been hanging back, but were trying to attract Johnny's attention. He saw them and turned the console over to Angus.
"Forgive us," said Chief Chong Wan, "but it is the dam. The water level is dropping, and you can now see the tops of the generator intake ports. My engineer here, Fu Qing, says that you won't have any electricity in another 4 hours." And they had another 6.5 to go.